In our gospel today, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as living water, quenching the thirst of all who come to him and filling the hearts of believers until they overflow. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the 37th verse. On that day, the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. So as I was thinking about Pentecost this past week or so, it hit me that all of time is wrapped up in this gifting of the Holy Spirit. It is all about the past, the present, and the future. I started thinking about that as I went out for a hike on Monday out at Fort Lincoln. Now, if you have never hiked out at Fort Lincoln, you may not realize it, but there are miles and miles of trails out there, some of them that run along the river, some of them that go through ravines, some that go out across the top of the prairie. It is a beautiful place to go out for a hike. I did 4.5 miles on Monday, and you might remember, it was just beautiful. I picked up a couple of hikers on the way, tick number 1 through 8, made it all the way back to Bismarck with me. But it is a gift to be out there. And as I walked on the trails, I could see the signs of things that had happened in the past. The trail itself, on a day when it had been much wetter, had been visited by horseback riders because the hoof prints were still there on the trail. At one point, the trail had been visited by bikers because you could still see the tire treads going down the trail. In another spot, you could see either dog or coyote track. I'm not smart enough to tell the difference, to be honest. It was one or the other. And then a little further down, a spot that was just all ground up clay or sand, and you could see the pheasant tracks that ran straight down the middle of the trail. Another spot along the trail, and there were bits of fur of what had once been a rabbit. Another spot, a whole pile of feathers of what had once been maybe a mourning dove. Predator had caught their prey, and predator had been sustained in the battle. As I continued to walk, I came to a ravine, and there in the ravine, it was a stand of bur oak. Last fall, the whole trail had probably been covered by bur oak leaves, but hooves and feet and tires that had passed their way had ground much of that into just bits of leaves, and they were pushed off to the side. Further off to the side, though, there were full leaves that were still there. Then, if you followed the right trail, you eventually come to the Post's Cemetery. White wooden boards stuck in the ground and then black lettering. They're not the original boards, they're recent additions to the prairie. And on those headstones were names and dates and cause of death. Shot, wound. Shot, wound, consumption, suicide by opium, intoxication, shot, wound. Going across the hill, the names, the dates of both soldier and scout were there. Testimony to people who used to be. No idea where they had come from to the prairie. All you get to see is their final resting place. If you look closely, you can see the present along the trail as well. Wild flowers blooming everywhere, green grass trying to creep its way into the trail, but the hooves and the feet and the tires keep it pushed back. I think that if we weren't present, the trail would be gone pretty quickly. If you listen closely, there was all sorts of chirping and clucking, all sorts of birds everywhere. I couldn't name a one of them except the pheasant, its unique call. In the ravines, the air was thick and cool and sweet because of the flowers that were all around, the wild plum and the chokecherry and the juneberry. It was all there. And it's also in those ravines that you can begin to think about what is to come, the future. Because those flowers will produce at some point yet this year, chokecherries and wild plums and juneberries. The wild roses will produce rose hips. Those birds that are chirping are probably all mating calls, and soon eggs will be laid and hatchlings will come along, and there will be another flock of birds to come. This Pentecost Sunday, we gather together and we celebrate what was and what is to come because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which affects us and infects us at all times and in all places. Think about it. God's Holy Spirit has always been. Scripture makes witness of it. All the way back to the beginning of creation. The very first verses of Genesis speaks of the Ruach, the wind, the Spirit of God hovering over that deep, murky nothingness, there with God in the midst of creation. As you continue to read through the Old Testament, you are introduced to wisdom. Again, for the Hebrew people, it was a nod toward a spirit. In the New Testament, Jesus is gifted with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, and as he comes up out of the water, a spirit which looked remarkably like a dove was descending upon him. The Holy Spirit has been present forever. But that Spirit is not confined just to the pages of the Bible, just to the stories that are present there. God's Holy Spirit has been loosed on the entire world, is among us and with us and in us. God's very presence. Always. Later on this morning, we are going to gather around the baptismal font. There will be three siblings that will be baptized. Anytime that we come to the font, we pray that God's Spirit is present and that God's Spirit would enter into this or these young ones being baptized, that this Spirit would stir parents and sponsors and an entire congregation to action. Remember, together, we promise that we are going to take up the work of raising this child in the faith It's not left just to the parents. It's not left just to the sponsors. All of us say that we will be involved in this process, that we will work to create space and opportunity so that the little one at the font may grow deeper in Christ-centered faith. Think about the trajectory of your own life. You didn't come to know Jesus on your own. God's Holy Spirit has been pursuing you, chasing you, your whole life. Think of the whole cloud of witnesses who you have engaged along the path of life. Parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, maybe it's been a family friend or a close neighbor, maybe the Spirit has worked through the hands and voice of Sunday school teachers, pastors, confirmation guides. There's been a whole host of people in the past who have helped nurture you into a life-giving relationship with the risen Christ. God's Spirit has been at work through each and every one of them for your sake. God's Spirit is present with you today as well. In the midst of all of life, the Spirit is there. Do we always feel it? Do we always recognize that the Spirit is with us? To be honest, no. We don't. However, it's not about your feelings. Whether we feel it or not, the Spirit is present. As close as a whispered prayer, a moment of paused silence to listen. Present on the mountaintop days of joy, or in the depths of the valleys of despair, in the monotony of daily life, or the days of relentless and harried schedules, God's Holy Spirit is present. So if we believe that the Spirit has been present in our past, if we can see places that we have been carried or helped or held through life, if we believe that God by the power of the Spirit is present with us now, then we can trust that the Spirit will be with us into the future. The truth is that one of the joys of walking at Fort Lincoln State Park, at least for me, is I don't know the paths very well. I can even look at a map and I still don't know the paths very well. I don't know what's around the next corner. I don't know if I've got a half a mile left to go or a full mile or more. I don't know what I'm going to run into next, but I continue to walk, trusting that eventually the path will lead me back to my starting point. Life is similar. We have no idea what is around the next corner, the next bend, the next ravine, but we can trust that the Holy Spirit is with us. Sometimes that might feel unsettling, not knowing what's around the corner. But the truth is, that's part of life's journey. And so we cling to the fact that the Spirit continues to be with us, to guide us, to guard us, to lead us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we journey now into the future, let us seek to be used by the Spirit so that others might feel loved, that others might sense that they are being cared for, that others might realize that they are seen, known and acknowledged as a precious and beloved child of God. Amen.